Beatus vir qui timet Dominum. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Very dear faithful, Saint Benedict of Nursia is known as the founder of Western monasticism and the patron of Europe. There are only two biographical sources about him. We have an account of his life in the second book of Saint Gregory's Dialogues. And secondly, during his life, he gave the men who wished to follow him a workable rule of life and a guide to Christian perfection that contained advice for putting into practice the evangelical counsels. Unlike Saint Francis of Assisi, Saint Dominic Guzman, or Saint Ignatius of Loyola, Saint Benedict did not intend to establish a religious order. Yet by the 9th century, his rule was accepted as a foundational document for the establishment of monasteries all over Europe. Saint Benedict was born in the year 480, the son of a Roman noble of Norcia in Umbria. At that time, the Roman Empire was at its end. The great city of Rome had been sacked for the first time in the living memory of Romans in the year 410 by Alaric and the Visigoths. In the year 452, Pope St. Leo the Great saved the city from the hordes of Attila the Hun. But in the year 455, Genseric and the Vandals pillaged and destroyed the city for 3 days. The great capital of Imperial Rome was no more. The Roman Empire in the West would last only for another 20 years. St. Benedict completed his elementary education in Norcia and went to Rome for higher education when the Roman Empire in the West was ruled by a pagan king. Once there, he became quickly disgusted by the dissolute life of many of his fellow students. Wishing only to please God, he abandoned his studies in the liberal arts at the age of 20 and left Rome to live a life in which he could seek God. At first, he went to Subiaco and lived in a cave in the mountains as a hermit affiliated to a nearby monastery. During his 3 years of living in solitude, he matured in mind and character, thereby growing in knowledge of himself and of his fellow man. He became famous for his zeal and attracted a following. He secured the respect of several monks of a monastery who wanted to elect him abbot. Saint Benedict had seen enough examples of monastic life existing at the time to know not to accept to lead a community that had not been living their rule for a long time. He consented, however, after several entreaties, and not long after, the experiment came to be a failure when the monks tried to poison him. When Saint Benedict prayed a blessing over the cup containing the poison, it shattered. So he left that community and shortly thereafter was the target of another poisoning attempt. This time, at the blessing, a raven took away the poisoned bread. These miracles served to increase his fame among those seeking to live a life pleasing to God. The period in Subiaco, a time of solitude with God, was a time of maturation for Benedict. It was here that he bore and overcame the three fundamental temptations of every human being: the temptation of self-affirmation and the desire to put oneself at the center, the temptation of sensuality, and lastly, the temptation of anger and revenge. In fact, Benedict was convinced that only after overcoming these temptations would he be able to say a useful word to others about their own situations of neediness. Thus, having tranquilized his soul, he could be in full control of the drive of his ego and thus create peace around him. Over 30 years in Subiaco, he founded and led 12 communities. In the year 530, he left Subiaco to found the famous monastery on top of the hill called Monte Cassino. It was here that he wrote his now famous rule towards the end of his life. On this day, in 547 AD, he went to his eternal reward. As Saint Gregory explains to us, Saint Benedict's life was steeped in prayer. Without it, there is no experience of God. Yet the Benedictine spirituality is not disconnected from reality. While living in the presence of God every day, one can never lose sight of one's duties. While lifting up one's gaze to God every day, one can understand one's reality and one's mission in life. Saint Benedict understood this in his own life and taught it to his monks. He described monastic life as a school for the service of God. The Benedictine spirituality unites a deep interior prayer life with the perfect accomplishment of one's duties and in a view to please God. Prayer has the first place in the life of the monk in his community. It is for this reason that the liturgy has such an important place in the Benedictine spirituality. It is during the liturgy that we learn to pray to God. It is during the liturgy that we receive the graces that we need to correct our faults and the graces for our state of life in the world. When the world around him was living the aftermath of the physical destruction due to the collapse of the Roman Empire and the collapse of good morals was leading to the moral destruction of society, Saint Benedict saw that its restoration to both physical and moral health would begin by the liturgy. Only in reinstating God to his proper place in the life of every individual and in society itself will we find peace in the world. Pope Pius XII, in his encyclical Fulgens Radiator, written after the Second World War, points this out when he says that it is of the first and primary importance that the supreme deity be reverenced and his holy laws obeyed in private and public life. Otherwise, there is no human power capable of checking and keeping under due control the unleashed passions of peoples. Religion alone provides the support for what is right and honorable. For the importance given to the liturgy and its help in the conversion of our souls, our superiors have placed the institute under the patronage of Saint Benedict of Nursia. It is in connection with overcoming faults and sins in the human soul that Saint Benedict saw the importance of fighting idleness in the daily life of his monks. Besides communal and private prayer, his rule organizes the monastic day into regular periods of sleep, spiritual reading, and manual labor. Ut in omnibus glorificetur Deus, that in all things God may be glorified. In later centuries, the intellectual work and teaching took the place of farming, crafts, or other forms of manual labor for many, if not most, Benedictines. Through his rule, Saint Benedict laid the foundation for the establishment of Christendom. Everything that we know belongs to Christianity was raised out of the smoldering ashes of the Roman Empire through the establishment of monasteries all over Europe. Saint Benedict described his rule as minimal, an initial outline. In fact, however, he offers useful guidelines not only for monks, but also for all who seek guidance on their journey towards God. For its moderation, humanity, and sober discernment between the essential and the secondary in spiritual life, his rule has retained its illuminating power even up to our time. Pope Pius XII points out that Saint Benedict wanted to tell us through his rule that God is not only to be honored and adored, but must be loved as a father with great charity. This Lent, let us pray to Saint Benedict asking for his intercession to gain the virtues of piety and zeal so that we can give glory to God with our whole lives. Saint Benedict, pray for us. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.